Okay, today is the July 19th, 2017 conference call for the National Liberty Alliance Courtroom Observers conference call. So, does anybody have anything to report? Not everybody at once.
I have something that might be of interest.
Go ahead.
On the Alex Jones nightly news last night, Roger Stone was addressing a whole auditorium full of people, and he was discussing the Bundys and all the people that are associated with those cases with the Bundys that are in jail. He's
right.
Trying to get people to sign a petition to present to President Trump to just go ahead and offer pardons to all these people across the board.
Yeah, he's setting up that petition for everybody to sign.
That is correct. That's what I wanted to bring up. I think it's pertinent during a courtroom observer meeting to bring that up. It should also be told to Ollie so he can maybe put it on the news if anyone's so inclined.
I've sent it to him. I sent it to him a while ago.
Well, you're Johnny on the spot. Any news that I've got already broke and went away. There was something else of interest. Trump signed an executive order, and it's got a lot to do with the election fraud. And he's paneled a group of people, and they met today. And I listened to every word that was said there. And the reason I bring that up is because I believe that was one of John Duresh and I want to say Gerardo. it was one of their primary squawks was the committee man process. And fraud in the committee man process that has been hijacked by the Democrats and Republicans, along with voter fraud and not allowing people to speak unless they were Democrat or Republican. And they didn't address any of those issues. And I was listening intently to find out some kind of a dial-in number to get a hold of them to submit evidence or anything where you could contact them. And they didn't give any information or ask for any public input. So I was outraged, but I'm bringing this up to let you know.
Well, what they're doing with that is they're asking all 50 states to send them the information on voter fraud in their state.
Did you see the interviews? And the meeting?
I've been following it for a while now.
Because they had their first full-on meeting today.
Well, they've been meeting for a while and reaching out to every state for the last month.
Well, I'm talking about they have a panel of people they impaneled.
Okay.
Today.
I haven't seen that yet.
They had their first set down meeting.
Okay. Well, I haven't seen that yet.
That's the meeting I'm referring to. It happened today. And and there are some pretty cool people, but they all have their own agenda. It's like everything from voting machines to funding from the federal government to this one guy, Van Housen or whatever, he's the only guy that's got a clue. He has a book he's going to give to all of them about voter fraud and people double voting and illegal aliens coming in, the whole nine yards, documented cases, convictions in court. And that's what they really need is tangible evidence. And I was wondering what the NLA might have in the way of that.
Well, that would be a question that needs to be asked on Monday night. I don't have that information.
I understand, but in case I miss the next Monday night call, would you please, sir, set in on the meeting and see what I'm talking about? So you seem like you're much more informed.
Well, I'll be there. I'm there every Monday night. I have to be.
I know. You have a lot of authority.
So,
one of the main dudes.
But that's that does interest me, so I'll try to get some word put out on that. Right now, I'm just trying to get into this site so I can see who's here and feel like I'm not stuck out here in left field somewhere.
No, I'd say right field.
I feel totally isolated. I feel like I'm in a cave all by myself. I hear a voice once in a while.
Well, this is Gunder here in Oregon. I mean, if you don't got too many people here, you could always do a roll call. So,
yeah, I was going to say we hit the trifecta.
I wonder, Terry, is New York Michael there?
Yes, New York Michael and Oklahoma Ed is here too.
I would like to address New York Michael. Are you there, Michael?
Yes, Robert. Go ahead there, buddy.
I can barely hear you.
Yes, I'm here, Robert. I'm here.
Okay. Well, you seem to have a lot of knowledge about the courts and courtroom observing. Is that right?
Somewhat. I don't claim to be a professional at it, but I've been in court many, many times, and I know pretty much what to look for, what I have been.
Yeah. Well, what I'm getting at is I need somebody to take the lead for the courtroom observers, and I was wondering if you might be interested.
Depends on what it involves.
Well, mainly what's involved is just taking care of Wednesday night call and talking to the people and teach them. You know, we can't talk about court cases or the man on the land stuff, but you know, we want people, like I've been saying, to be professional and have some information they need so that they know what to look for and what they're doing. And I get the feeling that you are knowledgeable on that.
Okay. I have other things that occupy my Wednesdays sometimes, and I don't have the state-of-the-art kind of computer with a good service. So it's when Laura left, I was going to help Terry do the group, but my computer system is such that I wasn't able to do hardly anything with it. So I don't know how that would how that would work.
Yeah, if you don't have a computer, that makes it awkward.
I'm very, very limited. I have a computer, but I don't have a building.
I wanted to ask you anyway.
Well, I'll do all I can to help. You know, any time I hear anything that I might be able to add something to, you know, I'll be glad to chime in.
Yeah, I know you've been very good about that, and so that's why I wanted to ask you first.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But like I have four of these calls that I'm taking care of, and so I'm quite busy taking care of that.
Right.
We try to have.
This is Gunnar here in Oregon. You know, if Michael wants to work, maybe we can get a few of us together rather than just take one of us taking the lead. Maybe we'll all kind of swap around. I'm working on our cases here up in Oregon.
Yeah, that's. I know you volunteered, and Gunny, and I appreciate that. I just know that you're very busy, and there may be times you're unable to get on.
Right,
and so. I need to find somebody that's going to be available for sure on Wednesday nights and has a computer. But I appreciate it, you know, because there's times when I can probably use your input, your help there, Gunny.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So I'll be willing to help Mike, though, and I can schedule my time. If I can't make it on a Thursday, then on a Wednesday, then I can let you guys know that. And so
okay,
it's just a matter of having a group that is knowledgeable enough to be able to explain what they're doing.
Right.
And it sounds like Michael and Terry and... And I talked with Terry for a little while, too, so
yeah, Terry's been backing up Laura for quite some time, and Michael's been doing that also. But I'm wanting to build this this call up to as many people as I can get, and I want to make sure that everybody becomes knowledgeable on how to be a courtroom observer. And it's
right.
there's not a lot involved, but there are some things to learn, and mainly it's just dressing as nice as possible and taking notes and being able to write a affidavit.
Yeah,
but there are some things that there are things that make it easier for people, like if they know the Constitution, then they have a better idea what they're looking for when they listen to the judge and the prosecutor.
Right.
Right, and it's good to have a court witness leader as well, somebody that knows the local statutes and the procedures of the court, so
right.
They can, help brief people when they're coming into a court case, that kind of a thing. That's why we have Ron Gibson. We had a class, in fact, last Sunday on the case that we're working on as court witness, and he's the one that's also the counselor at law that was representing. So the defendants, of course, that didn't even go into a court case because jurisdiction was challenged. So we're going after the judge. He has 30 days to remedy, and he's got about another two more weeks.
Well, that's
but anyway.
Yeah. You know when the judge is straying off the Constitution, and so yeah, you're set up there in Oregon to where you have some things going on where you can go after them. Not everybody has that yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's some things that you could teach people about some of this.
Robert,
well,
one of the
main thing is the presence that you talk. Go ahead, sorry.
Robert,
pardon?
one of the things is, okay, by teaching people how to be courtroom observers and to write the affidavits, and then how do we get that process to where they can turn into criminal complaints against the prosecutor, against the judges?
Yeah.
We're going to have to kind of get some kind of a system where we can make sure that it's accepted and we can do something about it instead of having to wait for the defendant to file a federal lawsuit.
Right.
Well, that's the thing. As a courtroom observer, I mean, that's our main job. However, as a courtroom observer, taking notes and writing an affidavit, a copy of that affidavit can be turned into the MLA if that defendant wants the MLA to take their case, then the MLA would be then going after the judge and whoever needs it. So
right,
as that courtroom as a courtroom observer, then you're setting it up for them.
Right. Okay, Friday I'm going to be going into a foreclosure case, and everything that has been turned into this foreclosure case has been pretty much shot down. They have no standing whatsoever, but yet the court keeps moving forward and forward and forward. And I'll be going in on Friday morning. My friend Shane Buchek in Buffalo, New York, and he applied for a courtroom observer to go in with him, through the group. But nobody has ever responded to him, or nothing has been sent out as far as an email to the group like it used to when Laura was doing it. So I don't know.
We still do that if it's known. Terry, is that you that sends them out?
Yes.
Yeah, see, Terry send them out if he gets notification that needs to be done.
Well, he had the paperwork all filled out. He went right to the site and filled out the affidavit and everything, according to my knowledge, what Shane had said. He's supposed to be on the call tonight. Hopefully he can, run that by you and you can double check it and make sure and maybe get something out to the group for anybody that's in the Buffalo area. I don't think there's that many people up here, but
that's the thing is that, you know, we, as a courtroom observer, we don't get into the legal aspect of it other than just writing an affidavit.
Right.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But still, we are a witness. We're a witness of the crimes that are being committed.
Especially
when they start stealing property and they start stealing people's children. I'm working on another case with a lady. She's not from here. She's from Indiana. And hopefully she's on the call tonight as well. And I'm trying to help her to get her kids back and doing what I can. And I'm steering her towards NLA. And she talked to John on Monday night. And hopefully they can remedy some kind of a situation for her with her grandchildren and her daughter's kids. And CPS wants to take the kids away as soon as they're born, and they have no exigent circumstances whatsoever. So how do we stop these people? How do we stop them? Yeah, we can write all the papers we want, but there has to be some type of an immediate stopple on these people.
You know, that's the thing is... And it's very difficult because we don't have the numbers. You know, if we can file the paperwork and try to hold them accountable, but until we start winning, we really have no backing.
Right.
We really don't have the power, and so.
Well, see, they know this. They know this, and they kind of work against us. And it's like they said, it's like, nah, 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 nah. You know, what are you going to do to me? type of thing.
Right, and they're using that. As long as they've got the power, they're gonna keep trying to ignore us, and we have to keep trying to get through.
Well, but there's other
tools
you can
use if we were to
witness,
if we were to go in and do anything, then we're all arrested.
Right.
Because we don't have the backing. We need to get a couple of prosecutors to work with the common law grand jury to go after these people, and then we start making some headway. And that's what we're trying to get out of Jeff Sessions.
Good luck with that one.
Well, we're going after Jeff Sessions now, and we're hoping that the president will put some pressure on and like what we're doing enough to get us some, put the pressure on Sessions to give us a couple of prosecutors. But we don't know that yet, what's going to happen. So it's a...
Because I know in my case, in my family court case, I had every judge that was involved in my case, plus every lawyer that came in. There was a plethora of attorneys that were representing my ex-wife. And every one of them were just so guilty of any kind of crime you want to think of. And it was just standing up there and lying, and I filed complaints after complaints after complaints, and they just went nowhere. I even filed to the bar. I filed to the judicial review, and nothing was ever done. Nothing was ever said. And everybody just keeps on keeping on. And it's like, well, what can we do?
Well, they're all in it together. They all play by a script.
Right.
And they've got us over a barrel at the moment. They have had for quite some time, and I don't know what the answer is, but hopefully things that John and Gerard are doing is gonna have an effect. I know I'm, I started working with Mr. Trump last summer in getting information for him that he asked for. So far, it hasn't done me any good, but I still keep trying along with John Drash. And at the moment, that's all we can do is never give up. Just keep on trying to get through and get something done and find that magic bullet that's going to get us moving.
Well, somewhere along the line, something's going to have to give. Otherwise, the people have had enough, and I'm afraid that it's going to turn into a real crazy mess.
What's working for us here in Oregon is we're building our associations and learning about the law, the administrative procedures, and how to first. Really an important one is at the very beginning to challenge jurisdiction. So, and
what a committee of safety can do. I mean, if we can get the committees of safety formed in enough counties, then the people in every county will start being educated, and then they can start putting the pressure on the courts through recall petitions and that type of thing. And we can also, once we get formed, then we can start turning in FOIA requests and learn everything we can about every elected official in a county, and that's going to help us to learn.
There you go.
Who can help us or who we need to go after.
Right, there you go. Build your association, build your witness program. That's where it comes in, is building your witness program and building your COS. Enjoy it.
Robert, I have a question. This is Ed from Duncan.
Yes.
Robert, I was under the impression that we had a few lawyers on our side already. Do we not?
I didn't hear that exactly.
What I'm asking is, do we have lawyers that are on, you know, part of our team here? Lawyers that were lawyers, but now they've seen the light and come upon our side. Do we have not some of those?
Well, we have a couple of wins, and we have different officials that are starting to work over onto our side.
Now, isn't it Brent? Wasn't he a former lawyer, Brent? Or is he a lawyer?
Well, Brent is an attorney. He's also an author of the book Common Law.
Right.
Common Lawyer, I guess it is.
Right.
But
he's a non-bar card.
He talks to help teach our membership
lawyer
and anybody else that signs on. But we need a whole lot more than that. We need the committees of safety in every county so that we can get to every person in the county, every county. Once we start getting enough people in every county, then there's no stopping us, because the people will take back their power. They just need to know how. They need to know they have the power, and they need to know how to use it. And we can teach them.
One of the things that I, an obstacle that I seem to be coming across with people that I communicate with, is so many people are even unaware that there is a problem. I mean, they don't even know that their liberties have been violated. And, of course, that's because of the ignorance of, you know, not even knowing the documents that, you know, that we're supposed to be defending and preserving.
You got to understand
a little bit. So start with the low-hanging fruit. Don't try to reach too far up into the tree. You know, there are a lot of people that are being violated, and they know they're being violated, and just that they understand that there doesn't seem to be anything that anybody can do about it. So when you get a small group of people together, they feel defeated. Yeah.
And they see these small groups like what happened at Malheur County.
Mm-hmm.
They all get arrested. One of them was killed, and that scares the hell out of them. And that's why the feds are rounding up these small groups and harassing them like that, is to scare the rest of the people into keeping their mouths shut.
That's right.
And so as long as a small group stands up and gets arrested, they're happy. We need the people. We need the people united to where there's too many for the feds to do that.
Well, I just have one more thing to say, Robert, and maybe you or someone else can kind of add to it or whatever, but... maybe there's a way of displaying to the, in layman terms, to kind of like expose all of this in a way or in a manner which that even the most ignorant person will start to see it and wake up. Because I think, you know, so many people are just doing their day in thing, and you know they just don't see it. They just don't see how bad it is, and the urgency that is needed for the people to come together. And that's I think that's one of
Gunny
the biggest problems.
Gunny is doing that in his area, and I think he's being fairly successful. But it's taken a long time, just like it will for anybody. He knows how difficult it's been. But
if you want me to jump in for a little bit, we're working on a case right now. It's because that we have a gentleman. He's a counselor at law, and he, of course, he's a non-bar carrying. He's studied law. He's a minor, and he helps all of the minors with their issues. And he has several cases against federal judges. And he was also trying to help Gary Harrington, the one over here, over by Medford in Southern Oregon, with his water rights issues and how they cornered him into a situation where they put him in jail because he was collecting water for actually for a fire system, for forest fires. And but unfortunately, with his case, is that he already entered a plea and already they determined jurisdiction he entered into a contract with them. So once you enter into contract with them, then you're under their jurisdiction, you're under their whim, relatively. What we recently did is Ron, he represented the Thompsons in a basically a nuisance case, code violation case, where they had changed the land zoning. Plus, Ron helped them to secure their land patent. So Ron Gibson, he has a book out, and he also teaches people how to bring their land patent forward. So he has another dog in the fire along with searching out the corruption. He wants to be able to enforce the land patents. So it is a big deal having somebody very knowledgeable about the law and administrative cases. And so he's teaching us how to, number one, understand how jurisdiction is applied. And make all the cases is that we give our personal jurisdiction or we give subject matter contact jurisdiction to the courts. So they have an obligation to prove jurisdiction first before the court hearing, before any plea is entered. And so if they cannot, and that's what we did about 3 weeks ago, we challenged the hearings officer, Ron did, in proving or bringing that he has an obligation to prove jurisdiction, that the claim defendant is not going to concede to personal or subject matter jurisdiction, that the court has to prove it. And so there are nine of us that witnessed that. And we sat there, and the hearings officer actually asked us. He said, how many of you that are in this courtroom, because he's not used to seeing hardly anybody on these particular hearings except for those people that have charges and code violations levied against them by a code enforcement officer. So anyway, he asked if anybody here was in support of the defendants. And he said, I don't want you to all get up or raise your hand or anything. Just nod at me. So we all nodded at him. And then he asked, how many of you here or in support of hearing the case? And there was nobody that wanted to hear the case or was in support of the case against them. And so that made a big deal, you know, that there was nobody there supporting it other than the court itself, you know, other than the hearings officer and also the court enforcement officer and the administrators for the court.
And what we've done is we've written affidavits. We've sent them to the court in regards to the case and the Thompsons as support witnesses to the fact that jurisdiction was not established and that a default ruling came forth from the hearings officer that was illegal, and it's a federal offense. And we know that it's a federal offense, and we put it in our affidavits. So first we write the accounting of what we witnessed, and then afterwards we can add information to it that we understand this to be law and that the hearings officer did not follow law or proper administrative procedures. So what we need to do is help people, along with building committees of safety, those also build their witness program. So it's great to have one or two people come in, but it's really something when you show up with a dozen people or so. And we've done that on a couple of accounts before in the last couple of years. The Oath Keepers in our area, who understand a lot of this, we were able to recruit some of them, and they supported us. We supported them on a case, and then they came over and supported us on another case. So, and that's how it goes, and it broadens our awareness. Now we have a growing base of people that are willing to be available to go out of their way to do court witnessing. So it's just a matter of getting two or three people in your county or in your area together and find a common cause with them. And they want to know and learn about more about this, just like what MLA is doing. And so I would propose that we look to see who of the people that we have that have cases that are going, that they can have a little bit of time to air about how they're doing, how they're progressing with their cases, and then talk about helping those that are interested or have cases where they don't have witnesses, how we can help them to find the people to do the witnessing on their cases. Okay, with that, I yield. That's my proposition. You need to come up with a plan on how to host this court witnessing segment. Did that go over okay? Then they got no answers. You guys are still thinking about it. Okay, that's good.
Well, that's I thank you for that, and
sure.
There's just so much that needs to be done, and there's just so many issues that need to be taken care of. I just hope that I live long enough to see us take back our constitutional republic.
Well, this is Jan in Kansas. I've been taking a break because there was some stuff that was going on before, probably about six months ago. Hi, that was kind of upsetting to me, but I just want to check back in because all you guys are so wonderful. But I wondered if you all had seen that story today that Jeff Sessions is expanding civil asset forfeiture.
Yeah, I read an article on that. I'm very disappointed by what he had to say. He's actually going against the Constitution by what he's doing. And it's something that we need to make known to the president on what he's doing. And I know the president is aware of the forfeiture. He just doesn't realize, I don't think, the ramifications of it, how it's been run. Right, I think he thinks the federal government's been operating it, but for the most part, it's each different state has different rules for the forfeiture program. And some of them are very unfair, more so than others. There needs to be rules protecting the innocent.
Well, we've got those in the Constitution.
Yes, but we need we need to be able to enforce it. And the way they're trying to set it up is that the police officer, in fact, some states have it to where the police officers who confiscate the money get to keep it, or at least a portion of it. And so that's not enforcing the constitutional law of protecting the people.
Well, before I called you guys at about 7:30, I've just been stewing about that all day. Excuse me.
Well,
and I called the Attorney General's comment line, and you only have a couple minutes. I had to call back four times. I had so much to say. But I said at the end, I was polite and nice, but I explained, like, I don't understand what Attorney General Sessions is doing. And then the famous line I think I learned from Laura, I mean, that she may not be the originator, but I think I picked it up from her. No, I think she was the reason. But anyway, her line was always, by what authority? So at the end of my last call, which I apologize for having so many calls, but I said, would you ask the Attorney General, please, to make a statement, a public statement, and tell the people by what authority he believes that he is able to violate the constitutionally guaranteed God-given rights of the people, because I said he's the one who is the top law enforcement officer in the nation, and it's actually his job to make sure that our amendment, that the amendments aren't violated. And so I said it would really be helpful to me, who has stuck up for him, to understand what he is basing that on. And then I called Alex Jones, which is where I got my version of the story, and they've got a comment line. And I called and told Alex, you know, just short, I said, Alex Jones, I said, well, I just called the Attorney General, blah, blah. And then I said, would you guys find a reporter, if you think it's worthwhile, you know, find a reporter to find out what the Attorney General is basing this on? So, you know,
I think we all need to ask those questions, by what authority?
By what authority?
Does he have to do that?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Have you thought about contacting Stone, Roger Stone?
I don't have a call.
Roger Stone has known the president for 40 years. Mm-hmm. And now he is one that should be able to get a hold of Trump and talk to him, since they've known each other so long.
Okay, I'm not on email or Twitter, so I wouldn't have any way of contacting Roger, but that's a great idea. If I was on email, or Twitter, I'd send him a message and ask him to do that.
Go to the InfoWars Nightly News last night and watch it, the last half of it. The InfoWars Nightly News last night, the last half of it, where Roger Stone is speaking about the Bundys. And
I watched
get an
that.
Earful of that.
Yeah, then I did.
Know.
I watched that.
This is Gary in Illinois.
Hi, Gary.
Yes.
Yeah, I think Trump came out and made a statement regarding Sessions today. I heard it on the radio, and he alluded to that. So it appears that Sessions may be heading down the road.
You mean out?
Well, it wasn't stated that way, but Trump came out and criticized him.
Good.
What he had done is stand on the BLM and the prosecutor doing his job, and he was presented a negative case for it. He didn't say he was getting rid of him, but to me, the writing was on the wall for him.
Oh, good. If he's going to be this way, because I said, you know, on my call to him, I said, we haven't even heard from or seen you at all, and I said, I don't understand why you would go after people's property. I said, that's theft. And I said, you said you were a Christian. And I said, I'm sure that the Lord Jesus would not approve of that. And I said that, well, just a whole bunch of stuff. I don't want to take up all the time. But, I mean, I just went on and on. I really did get it all out. But it's like, I did say, well, here we've got all this child sex trafficking going on. I said, there's 20 million innocent Americans being surveilled unconstitutionally, which is illegal. And I said, we've got Mrs. Clinton selling the uranium, and now the phosphorus came out. And I said, there's all this love, and I said, I don't understand why you would choose the first time you pop your head up to go after people who haven't done anything and steal their home and put them on the street.
I have the answer to that question.
Okay.
The answer is that there is evil all around us. And I can count on one hand the things that government is actually doing, righteousness.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hate to be the one to say this, but, you know, sometimes I think, you know, I'm the most peaceful man there is. I'm a balanced man. But sometimes looking at upon all of this that's going on and all this evil, and yes, innocent people are being murdered, their property being stolen, and their lives being taken from them. And sometimes I sit back and I wonder, what would our forefathers have done? You know, we talk so much about what authority do they have. They have no authority. But they take the authority. They just take and take. And until the people stand up, as I believe our forefathers would, and exercise our Second Amendment rights and show them that we have no fear, unfortunately, I think, and I hope it never comes to that, but I'm saying what most of us know in our hearts but don't want that to happen. But it seems as though this is so out of control, so overwhelmingly evil, and they're doing things, you know, I heard the saying once that, you know, evil is done right before your eyes. They don't hide it anymore. It used to be they used to hide all of their moves, and they would just lie. Now they're just saying things that we're going to take your stuff. Just if we suspect that you are doing something wrong, you are considered guilty. So there is no due process anymore, okay? The Constitution is not going to be enforced, or they're not going to follow it. They've proved that for decades upon decades, okay? It is not their authority to do anything other than what they're doing, because they're getting away with it. And it's until we... And this is what I was trying to stress before, one of the questions I asked before, is, you know, people are so lackadaisical, and, you know, we are here talking about all of these issues, but they're continuing to do this evil doings to degrees that are just unimaginable to the common man, like us who are talking on his phone, because it's like, well, how can you even do this to somebody? So, I'm not making any kind of a statement. I'm just, you know, concerned that our course of action is just not stringent enough to get the, you know, they do not fear us. That's the bottom line. They do not fear us. And I and that's one of the big things our forefathers always said. You know, it's when the people fear the government, that's tyranny. But when the government fears the people, that's liberty. And they just do not fear us because there's not enough of us that are willing to stand up and give me liberty or give me death and go to your capital and march. You know, we have all these idiots and these lowlifes marching every day and protesting for absolutely no reason at all. There's no logic behind any of it. But all of us, we're trying to do the right thing. We're trying to do it in a peaceful manner. And we're being, as we take five steps forward and another three steps back. It seems as though we just can't get our momentum going. And it's because they're just ignoring us and they're steamrolling over us. And one of the things I think we should be exercising is our, you know, instead, there should be more news about protesters on our level. On what we want done. I mean, if we were to get a bunch of people in each county to go to our congressman's, a place of office or so on and so forth, or the capital or so on and so forth. My point is, I think the people need to be raising their voices a lot louder. Is my sorry to interrupt. I yield.
Well, you're very right on that, Ed, and we really wish we had the people necessary to stand united and do that. That would be ideal. The people have the power, but they need to be united.
It's amazing how much power we do have. I mean, we outnumber them so many.
But individually, we have nothing.
No. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. This is pure truth coming out of me, okay? January 21st or 16 when Lavoie Finnegan got assassinated right in front of us. I really thought that was going to be the spark that was going to be the second revolution. And quite frankly, I think it should have been. And the fact that they actually did that in broad daylight, right, and it was witnessed, it was recorded by many different angles, it was presented to the people, and no riots? I mean, and what I mean, there was no significant backlash for the government for doing that. So that incident that happened last year was a really tremendous backward fall for the people, for we the people, because it was at that moment that was the shot heard around the world, and we failed to act. That's just my opinion.
My little sweetie.
Well, that's we see way too many examples like that where the people are afraid to stand up where they should.
My little Mitzi. Hey, sweetie. Okay, that's enough, Mama.
Well, I'm putting together a sheet that I started collecting just for your guys' information. If you think you could use it in any way, I could send somebody a copy. But I'm putting together like the HR 2977, a copy of that, and then my local police office, community policing off of their website. It tells that pretty much it just says if somebody turns somebody in, we start COINTELPRO on them until we tear them down. And then a neighboring city or small city here in the Kansas City area, Olathe, Kansas, they had on their web page that they, and the other one I spoke of was Kansas City, Kansas, but Olathe, Kansas, they had on their website that when somebody calls in suspicion, like say, I think somebody's done that on me, and perhaps, you know, it could be from the things that have gone on. But if somebody would call me in, I mean, call in and give my address, I don't think they put your name up, but they give your address and they tell that somebody said they think something might be going on at this address, and they put that on the website. They put that on live. And, you know, stuff like that. Well, I'm getting together a packet, not a packet really, but just going to staple some papers together that gives people an idea of all the stuff, the chemtrails, the fluoride, the smart meters, the vaccines, you know. And then I thought that I'd put together just one sheet that had the websites, my favorites, and maybe if you guys wanted to give some good websites, and just hand people one sheet of paper and have it listed as, you know, what it is over at the side, and then where they can go home and look it up.
Yeah. Might be interesting.
Well, to tell them why they do need to be concerned. Here is why you need to be concerned. Simple asset for it. Oh, and the other thing, and then I'll be quiet. But the other thing that on the InfoWars video that said that just the 24 states have already enacted legislation that either rolls back or repeals the civil asset forfeiture in that state. And what Jeff Sessions is planning to do, it was called civil asset forfeiture, and now he wants to call it adoptive forfeiture. He's going to roll right over what the states had said, no, we don't want this in our state, you can't do this in our state, and he's writing more legislation or whatever he does to say, oh, yes, we can, and we're doing it under this name, adoptive forfeiture. And I yield.
Well, it sounds like you're putting together something that's really good. I'd like to see it.
Okay. I'd be happy to share, you know, whatever we can do.
I'd love to see it.
Okay, great. I'll get working on it harder then.
Okay.
Not to switch channels very much, but there's a lady on Facebook called The Activist Mommy. The Activist Mommy. And this lady is talking about stuff that's going on with her children in the schools, in pedophile rings and teaching kids Islam and stuff like that, where you can't bring a Bible to school. And her latest one is Vogue magazine for teens, where they're teaching children how to have anal sex. This is for kids 12 years old. She's all over this. And I'll tell you, I've been exploring this mentally for a while. And I believe that the people that are causing all this mayhem in the world, they're trying to exterminate the Christians. That's the only thing that makes sense to me. I yield.
I do, too.
I saw that on the news here today.
What part?
Talking about that lady got that campaign going to get people to stop, or get the stores to stop selling that teen magazine.
Yeah, Vogue teen. Yeah, she was shown burning it up, throwing it in the fire, and ripping it apart piece by piece and tossing it in the fire, which is a good place for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, man.
Well, I do believe that we've done about all we can here this evening.
So, Robert, this is Gunter from Oregon.
Yes.
What kind of a plan now are you working on for the court witnessing meetings that we're having? What's your next plan? What's your plan for the next court witnessing conference?
Oh, for the call next Wednesday?
Next Wednesday, yeah.
Well, I'm hoping to have the head, you know, a new leader for the group, and before them, and have them put together a plan . But I don't know who it's going to be yet. Okay. But we need to start having a plan a week ahead of time so that everybody knows. You know, I don't like having these calls talking about everything other than what we should be talking about. You know, we need to be talking about how to be a courtroom observer and what the duties of the courtroom observer are.
Sounds good.
I'm just finding it very difficult sitting here on a phone, not being able to see anything. It's not easy to
turn
to
it over is the word.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm willing to help you for next week. I should have gotten a hold of you sooner rather than a half hour before the meeting. So,
well,
I'll try to give you a call.
You let me know a week ago, and so, yeah, I...
Yeah, sorry about that. I should have gotten a hold of you sooner.
I just I'm looking for the full-time, the head leader, to put everything together and make plans.
Yeah, I talked with Terry. We had a good talk. And I think with Michael, if we all four of us get together and if we can find somebody that can take the lead, otherwise I propose that we kind of just help all four of us get together, talk about look at what the NLA program is and just put up a little format and build a little charter on how we want to present it for next week to help you out there.
Sure.
And then from there, until you get a really solid leader that you feel good about that can take, you know, most of the information that NLA has on court witnessing, and then present that in a package, and then we can get behind that person and support them as well with our local information. So that's my proposal. How's that sound?
Let's just look at next week as being
an organizational meeting.
We'll get you guys together and talking about courtroom observing and what we can do, how to get it going, you know, like an organizational meeting.
Sounds good. That sounds like a plan. I'm happy with that. How about Terry, Michael? What's your input?
I like it.
So, Michael, who else? Anybody else? Everybody should be chiming in here. So, yeah. We can vote on an indictment. We can also vote on what can go on next week.
I like what you just said.
Sounds
pretty good.
I'm getting suggestions on what we need to do, and I'm thinking that we will do that. It seems there's no sign up for the courtroom observers and no list of members, and so I think in accordance with the suggestion I just received, we'll get one started. We'll get a sign-up list going, and that'll help us organize.
Okay, that sounds great. I'm going to go ahead. I got to get my work done, so I got to step out, and I'll send you an email or call you before the meeting. And Terry, I should give you a call too. I'll look at the NLA website and should have the affidavit template. And John Durash wants everybody to use that anyway, so whenever they want to send something in, it's in that format. That's easiest for them, easiest for NLA. So, all right, with that, I yield, and I'm going to step out. God bless. Thanks, everybody, for being a part of this adventure that NLA has got us on. Thanks, Robert, for all you're doing.
Yep.
Glad you're still around with us. I appreciate all the work that you've done over the years and the help that you've given to us in Oregon. So God bless. Talk to you then.
God bless all. Okay, Terry, you want to take it?
Close call.
Yeah.
Okay. That concludes the Courtroom Observers meeting for July 19, 2017. We'll be back next week, same bat time and same bat channel. Have a good night.
Good night, guys. Thanks.